Well, Indiana Farm Bureau delegates recently met in Noblesville last weekend to put together their policy agenda for 2026. And here to share more about that policy agenda for next year is Randy Crone, president of Indiana Farm Bureau. First of all, Randy, let's dive deep into some of these particular issues. And I'll start off with the one issue that I think a lot of farmers across Indiana have shared with our team here at Hoosier Ag today, that one of their main concerns last year, and it continues to be one of their top concerns this year, farmland property taxes. We saw that the state legislature earlier this year tried to put together some farmland property tax legislation. They did, but a lot of farmers still telling me, Randy, that it's not the tax relief that they were expecting from our lawmakers and from Governor Braun's office. Well, what can you tell me about the feedback you've gotten and what the policy plan is for 2026 regarding farmland property taxes?
You're right, CJ. And, you know, we got a two-year small fix, but it's not enough. And what's happened with property taxes, the way they've gone up, it's got to be addressed in the next year or two. It might have to wait to a budget year, but which would be 2 years out, but it's got to be addressed. Now, our members, their policy, they voted that they want to eliminate property taxes, with the replacement coming from either income tax or sales tax on services, and, you know, being an exemption for ag, medical, and business to business. And then also the policy, they wanted to put a freeze on property taxes until they actually get eliminated. So they did tweak our policy. They want more definite, solid results out of this. And, you know, that's a move saying that we're all right with on having it on sales tax on services. So that's a pretty big move. And so we'll see what happens. But that means our staff's going to have a lot to work on. But most likely, this won't be addressed. You know, generally, the property tax stuff gets addressed in a budget year. So it's probably we have 1 year here to get prepared for that. But we'll be working on it. And we've got that message loud and clear. Property taxes are going up too much. Now, the changes that were made will eliminate business personal property tax for most farmers. It will be a $2 million exemption, and that's on purchase price, basically. And so that will get most of them. So that's a help on the personal property, but the real estate property, farmland taxes have been going up way too much, and figuring out how to fund local government. And I think everybody understands we have to fund local government. You know, you want police, you want fire, you want EMS. So there are services out there that government needs to provide, but we got to find a, what I would call a fairer way or more balanced way of funding those.
Chatting with Randy Crone, president of Indiana Farm Bureau, here on Hoosier Ag today as we talk about Indiana Farm Bureau's policy agenda for 2026. And another main topic that was addressed this past weekend during the recent delegate session concerning renewable energy projects. What can you tell me, Randy, about the projects and the policy plan that Indiana Farm Bureau has for these renewable energy projects?
Our policy shifted a little on this, and our members had said they want incentives for renewable energy to be located on non-productive farm ground. So that was put into policy this time. Also, they want to cap how many acres of prime farmland could be used in each county if you're doing it for renewable projects. So that's a bit of a shift and trying to preserve farmland. So moving away from the reliance, and I realize solar companies will tell you that's the cheapest and easiest farm to do is go on that nice flat black dirt, but try to give some incentives so it goes, you know, they'll move it somewhere else. We did dive into the discussion on nuclear, and which we really had very little policy on it, but we do have interest in the nuclear, and they want to invest in some research and put some money into it about creating the small modular nuclear reactors, and especially on where some of these existing coal-fired plants are being shut down. And it makes sense to put those on that footprint because they'll easily fit on the location where coal-fired plants were. And you've already got the infrastructure, so you're not putting up new transmission lines or anything. So we are supportive of looking into that and trying to get some of that done. So that's a shift in our policy on nuclear, because we had really no policy on it.
One thing that was discussed here recently, also during the policy summit, was Governor Braun's Make Indiana Healthy Again initiative. And on the surface, it's a great plan, but I know that there are some delegates and some farmers who take a look at some of the verbiage that the governor has put out there. And some have told us, you know, we're on board with buying local, but that doesn't mean that's buying from your local grocery store like Kroger, from Meijer, from Target, buying your local pork, your beef, your chicken. Those products that you find in your major grocery stores are just as good as what you find at your local grocery stores. And I think that was also part of what was discussed last weekend as well, Randy.
It was. There was a lot of discussion around food and, you know, Governor Braun's executive order to make Indiana healthy again. And we all support that. I mean, our members talked about, you know, we want everybody to be healthy, but when you bring food into it, you know, the devil's in the details. But we did tweak our policy, some new support for home-based vendors, language to make it easier to provide local foods, but also with the caveat that food safety is very, very important when you do this. So we're all right with that, but you're not going to feed the entire country off of just locally growing things. And so the corn and soybeans and the pork and dairy products that are produced here are very, very important, and they're very healthy, very safe. So we did expand that a little bit, but there will be more discussion in that food arena, because how do we make Indiana healthy? How do we make America healthy? All of us are supportive of that, but it is going to be critical, the details of how we get there.
Another concern that was addressed this past weekend, something that we wouldn't have thought would have been an issue 20, 30, 40 years ago. We're talking about the use of drones and folks wanting to fly their own drones over farmland, over ag businesses. I know that earlier this year, there were concerns about drones being flown that were unauthorized over poultry facilities that had positive cases of the H1N1 virus, which angered a lot of poultry producers. And I'm sure that's something that was certainly discussed as well this past weekend during the delegate summit, Randy.
We did, and we strengthened our policy on that, because you're right, 20 years ago, I'm not sure any of us knew what a drone was, or now most people probably own one. And they're a useful tool for the farm community. But we did strengthen it to add some civil and criminal penalties for nefarious uses of unmanned aircraft or drones. And so because, you know, that was in that Jay County, Randolph County, like you said, CJ, there was a lot of drones flying around, and speculation, and, you know, we don't know. Some of those poultry houses will tell you they had drones a few days before and then they broke with AI. So that's an issue. And to have some control, because, you know, I had a story of one said they went through his freestyle barn and on his dairy farm. And so that's not right. So to have some limits on what they can do and how they can use them, or other people, and, you know, maybe they're not up to mischievous things, but maybe they are. So trying to just get a little more control who can fly over your farms and your livestock barns. And, you know, there's some disease safety issues in that too, when they're flying around.
What I find fascinating, Randy, is that during this past weekend's delegate gathering in Noblesville, that you brought together 226 farmers and ag professionals from across the state. And then when you bring together 226 farmers and ag professionals, so many of them have their own ideas for Indiana Farm Bureau in terms of policy for 2026. And if I'm not mistaken, you and your team received over 600 different suggestions for policy plans for next year. Is that right?
That is right. It's kind of the Farm Bureau way, but, you know, our policy is very grassroots driven. It starts at the county level. Every county Farm Bureau has a discussion, debate about policy, and then it moves up to the state level through a resolutions committee to try to condense and make it a little more he's easier to handle in one day, but then the delegates have that debate and they can bring anything up from the floor. So I feel good about our policy because it truly represents what the grassroots, what our members out on the farms really want. And, you know, we've had some healthy discussion and you named a lot of them that had some good discussion about. And so I feel very confident when we go to the state house, what we're advocating for agriculture is truly what our members want, what farmers across this state want.
And having Katie Nelson on board is certainly a huge win for Farm Bureau for 2026, because having her as part of your team now going forward, that's a huge policy win, I would think, for Indiana Farm Bureau.
We're excited to have Katie there. And, you know, actually, she started Friday for the first day was the critical issue summit. And then the next day was our delegate session. So she had two pretty big Farm Bureau days as her first two. But I am confident Katie will do a great job. She knows agriculture. You know, she's from a farm in Missouri. And so she's got farming in her DNA. So all good. Looking forward to it and expect great things. I will say, after 38 years of working for Farm Bureau and 32 years as the chief operating officer, Mark Sigler is retiring the end of August here. And so then I would Representative Culp had the governor give him an award, the Indiana Distinguished Hoosier Award. And I would be remiss if we didn't thank Mark for all his years at Indiana Farm Bureau. And you know, I think all of us, our goal is to make sure we leave things better than we found it. And there's no doubt Indiana Farm Bureau is better because of Mark's service and Indiana agriculture is better. And so I just want to say a thank you to Mark Sigler for all he's done and wish him very well, you know, the best in retirement. Hopefully, I think they've got some traveling and different plans and hopefully it all works out and he enjoys retirement.
Once again, Randy Crone, president of Indiana Farm Bureau. And Randy, thank you so much for sharing your time with us here today on Hoosier Ag Today. I appreciate it.
Thank you. We're happy to anytime.